You are now tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Nancy Ruffin Show. I am your host, Nancy Ruffin, your go-to for all things faith, purpose, and encouragement. In this podcast, you know that I'm passionate about three things: God, goals, and growth. And every week, I bring you stories, inspiration, anecdotes, interviews from some of my favorite people, and maybe some of your faves as well. And the purpose is for us to get honest about our journeys, for us to be transparent about our lives. So often we see people at the pinnacle of their success when they're already at the top, but we don't know the backstory. We don't know what they had to survive to get there. We don't know what their struggles were, right? We don't know the grit that they had to endure in order to get and experience the glory. And so on the Nancy Ruffin Show, this is what I aspire to bring you. I aspire to provide you with real life stories of how people turn their trials into triumphs and how God shows up in very real ways in their lives and in your life as well. The problem is that we get so consumed with what's happening around us that we lose sight of what's happening within us. And every single thing that we go through, every experience, every struggle, every trial, God is using to develop us, to make us stronger, to build us up, to push us, to propel us into our purpose. But if you are not paying attention to what's happening within, you are not going to ever get to where God is trying to take you. And my girl, Emily De La Cruz, said this best. I was on her. I don't know if I was on her IG or I saw it come across my IG. But she said it eloquently. She says that God has dragged her, right? And when she first said it, I was like, well, what does she mean by that? And then when I paused and I listened to what she was saying, is that God lays the foundation for us, right? He lays the path. He tells us, right, how and what and where we should be going. And us, in our stubbornness and in our ego-centeredness and in our selfishness, think that we know better than God, right? And so what she was saying is that when she has tried to go around and do her own thing, this is where she finds herself sometimes stuck, right, in messes. And that is God dragging her, kicking and screaming, sometimes against her own will, into where he already has ordained her. And I wonder how many of you find yourselves in those getting dragged situations, right? Every time we find or we encounter a situation that we're resisting, I would invite you and encourage you to look within and reflect and ask yourself, well, why am I resisting this so much? What would happen if you surrendered and actually allowed God to move you and place you exactly where he wants you? You know, my life has been a testimony of being dragged, you know, but I finally got it right. I finally got it right. And I started listening to my intuition. I started paying attention to my gut. I started opening my eyes so that I could see how God was showing up in my life every single day in very real ways through the people that he was sending to my life, through the opportunities that he was providing, through the doors that he was closing, through the people that he was removing, right? So often we try to hold on to things, and sometimes the things that we are trying to hold on to, God will remove them out of our lives because they are a hindrance, because they are holding us back. And they are no good for us. But we're blind to that. Because why? Because we're selfish. We're ego-centered. We think that we know better. And we resist the surrender because we're trying to hold on to something that God doesn't want for us. And that is why we suffer so much of the time. So I don't know what thing you're trying to hold on to at this moment. I don't know what the struggle is in your life. But if you allowed yourself to surrender, what would that look like for you? Would that bring you peace? Would it bring you joy? Would it bring you happiness? Would it bring you clarity? Like sometimes we're holding on to things that keep us in a mass of confusion, right? And sometimes it isn't until we let certain things go, certain people go, certain habits go, that we start to gain the clarity that we need so that we can see exactly where we're supposed to be heading. We're heading into the holiday season. And this is often a rough time for many people. There are many people who struggle with loneliness. There are people who struggle with sometimes being in partnerships and still being lonely. There's nothing worse than being with someone and still feeling alone. And, you know, one thing that I've always said is that if someone's presence isn't better than my solitude, I don't want them near me. I don't need them near me because my peace is the most important thing to me. And if someone in my life is disrupting that peace by their presence, I don't need them. Not only don't I need them, I don't want them. And so we have to start getting comfortable being alone and being happy with ourselves, because no person can make us happy. Happiness is an internal job. Because what happens is if you give someone the power to make you happy, you then also give them the power to take that happiness away. And what would that be, that your happiness is dependent on someone else? We have to find what makes us happy. We have to be happy from the inside out. We have to love ourselves so that we can enjoy the company of other people. Because I will tell you that if you're not happy with yourself, you're not going to be happy with anyone else. You're not going to be happy in any other situation because you're looking for something outside of you to fulfill a need that you have within you. And that is never going to work. In any case, I hope that you have been well. I hope that you had an incredible Thanksgiving, whether you spent it alone or whether you spent it with family or whether you spent it with friends. I hope that it was everything that you wanted it to be. As we prepare for the Christmas season, be intentional about who you spend your time with, right? Be intentional about the meaning of the holiday and why we celebrate it. It's so easy to get caught up in the commercialization of it and the spending money and the buying toys and the gifts and all of that. Let's not lose focus that it's the birth of our Lord and Savior. You know, and for me, that this is my absolute favorite holiday of the year. It always has signified to me the meaning of family and being able to just be with them and to celebrate the birth of Christ. This week on the podcast, I am interviewing a great friend of mine. I've interviewed her on the podcast before. When she was on the podcast 2 years ago, she went by the name Anne Marie Martinez. So if you go back into my archives and you want to check out my first interview with her, that is how you will find her. But in this season, she is brand new. She has had a rebirth. She is on a new path in her life and in her career. And she's really, she's one of the most spiritual people that I know, and she's just a breath of fresh air filled with so much wisdom. And we had such an incredible conversation. So when we come back from the break, I will be in conversation with my friend Apollonia Keys. So join us after the break. Get comfy, get yourself something to drink, and make sure you have a pen and pad so that you can take notes, because my girl stays dropping them gems.
My name is Avery Ruffin, and you're listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show.
First, let me thank you for joining me. This is the second time I get to have you on the podcast.
To be able to share what I did with you 2 years ago and then come back 2 years later and just, you know, talk yeah. about where we are today, I thought would be really, really, really a great share, you know, for those who are on the path and don't, you know, don't or can't see yet how that path, you know, is a journey and not a destination. And how you just keep evolving along the way. Just the old trick of saliva.
So I am happy to have you joining me this week. We have so much to talk about because yeah. it's been a few years since you've been on the show. There's been so many changes happening in your life. But before we get started, I want you to introduce yourself to my audience. Who are you? It's Hispanic Heritage Month, so I want to know your ethnicity, a little bit about your culture, because we are, you know, all about elevating who we are and how all of those things, right, influence who we become, good or bad, right? You know, our upbringing, our culture, all of that plays a part in who we ultimately grow into being. So take it away. Introduce yourself first. And I know you've had a name change, so I want to get into that also.
Sure. Thank you so much, Nancy. You're the best. You really just do know how to like set the stage. So thank you for that. My name is Apollonia Keys Martinez, formerly known as Anne Marie. I am Colombian, Italian, and Irish, born and raised in Queens, New York.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, that mix of your ethnicity, you know, for those who are listening on the podcast, audio, you can't see how beautiful Anne-Marie is.
But oh, we're going to be sure of me too? Thanks. Yeah, I wasn't prepared.
She's gorgeous. Well, we don't have to post the video. We can just do the audio. But even now, you're gorgeous with just your hair out, no makeup. She is as beautiful on the outside as she is on the inside. And one of the reasons that I think Apollonia and I initially connected, it was because of our spiritual journeys. And this is something that when we first met, we met at, actually, I don't know if you know or if you remember, but we met years ago in Miami, through Kiana, years uh-huh. ago, yes. And you actually know my husband's best friend. His name is Rich, but they call him Everlast. He's from Queens.
Years oh my ago, God.
This was, when I tell you years ago, it was like, this was our Miami party, Cubby. I have pictures of you. I have to search for them.
No!
Yes, but oh, no. That was where we, like, first met. I remember through Kiana. And do you remember Jenny Luna?
Yes.
That was how we met years ago. And then by chance, right, we ended up reconnecting years after through an event that Kiana had hosted with, I thought, what was the name of the of the new school or something?
Latina Connect.
The Latina Connect, yes. And they had this dinner or brunch or something they had.
Yes.
And we were both guests and we ended up sitting next to each other and we just started talking. And
yeah, then it was my 39th birthday, actually.
Crazy. But like from that moment was where our real friendship, I want to say, formed, you know?
Absolutely.
Then, you know, we talked so much. And, you know, I want to talk about your journey, right? Like how you journeyed from this incredible branding lifestyle party girl, right? I mean, because you're very open and honest about like your life and how all of that really was the catalyst for who you are today, because you had to go through some real, real deep things to get to where you are, right? So can you talk a little bit about what that journey has been or was like for you?
Yeah, I'm laughing because you're like, you had to go through some things. And I'm like, well, I just went through some more things last night and hasn't even been 24 hours.
Yeah, but you know what? That just goes to show that like we're always evolving, right? Like yes. we never reach that place where we say, I'm completely healed and I'm done and there's nothing. Like we are always gonna go through something, and the something is gonna be the thing that helps us grow more into who we're supposed to become.
Yeah, man. And it's so interesting that we're not only doing this podcast where I am now going to be super, you know, raw and authentic and transparent, but I'm also sharing with you real time my, you know, most recent self-realization and how I just had like this whole mind-blown thing happen last night, because I've always been, you know, an advocate of personal development and really just being your own science project. I feel like, you know, we're our own greatest masterpiece. So I really want to treat myself like a piece of art, and I want to go in there and I want to find all the pieces that can use a little bit more love and really learn about what makes me tick and why I behave the way that I do and how those things have affected me in my life and in every area of my life, and how some of those things, you know, were part of my survival, but they're things that I no longer need today at 43 years old. So that part has been, whoa, like even just sharing that with you makes my throat quiver, because I can say it honestly to myself. And go through the grieving process of that by myself, but to share that so openly like this right now is it's not that easy, right? Because I am,
the thing is that, you know, when we get to that level of connection, like with ourselves, right, and the realization of who we are and who we're becoming, and the work that requires, it really breaks us wide open, right? And I think culturally, and not just as Latinas, but just even as Americans, culturally, we've been taught to like not show up as ourselves. Like we're always portraying something or someone else other than who we are, which is, you know, why we put so much stake into how we physically look, or the brands that we wear, you know, like all of these things that really have nothing to do with who we are, like at our core. And when you do the work, you start to realize and recognize that.
Yeah. And also just, you know, you start to look at the blind spots and you start to see systemically how the ways that you have been unconsciously behaving are not your things. They actually belong to your parents or those who raised you. And it is all part of the programming and learned behavior. And to, from my personal aha moment last night, to just become aware of the fact that I have been in one way, I look like, wow, look at her. She's thriving, abundant, so positive. Ooh, she's living her best life. But then to be in a place of isolation where I feel I'm most my most creative, where I can do this introspective work. And then to see that I truly am not being what it looks like I am, because I'm struggling in other areas of my life that I still have yet to conquer and to get through, and to see how that thing, that one little freaking thing, is the one thing that's holding me back. And me saying today, well, I don't want that to be that. And I can't even believe that that's what I've been doing all this time. I couldn't even see it. So then it's like, you notice it, you become aware, you become awakened to the behavior, right? You become conscious.
And then you're like, okay, well, I don't want to do that. And like my friend said to me last night, the aha and the grieving process doesn't have to be so dramatic. And I noticed that even in the dialogue last night, during this conversation, it was like me looking at it, like I had to go through this really rough place to get to the other side. And it's like, well, that's another story that comes from somewhere, that in order to be happy or to be good or to be abundant or to be deserving of everything that comes into your experience, that you know, it's got to be really hard when you realize that you deserve it. Like that, you know, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be that serious either.
And it doesn't always have to be as hard as we make it out to be, right? I think that we're just also so accustomed to like struggle that we make things harder than they should be. And sometimes all it really requires is like a commitment to ourselves to say, I'm ready to do this work. Like even if like we don't feel ready physically, we have to push past that. Because once you get that awareness, like you mentioned, once you become conscious of the behavior, you then have a choice to make, right? You either decide to stay there and you continue to use that as an excuse.
Yes.
Not growing and not evolving. Yeah. Or you decide to say, you know what? I know this feels uncomfortable to me right now. And I know that I might not even know what the first step is. But I'm gonna figure it out and I'm gonna step into this awareness and do whatever I need to do to overcome this. And it's a powerful, like when you can get to that point within yourself, once you gain the understanding that your life really is in your hands, that you have the power to create it in the way that you want. That there's such freedom in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say that I am very lucky. I am very blessed. I talk about this with my other friends that live here. I live here in Tulum, Mexico. We get to live the lives that we live, and we live a life of freedom, and we choose to live that way. And we have chosen to live this way. Not everybody knows or understands that that freedom is available to them. Therefore, they don't know that the simplicity of life is truly where you can be a channel to receive all of those blessings, good, bad, or indifferent, however the lesson's supposed to come. But when we are in the material world, when we are in the rat race, when we are living amongst other people who are not living as consciously, then we choose to allow distractions to come into play in order to avoid doing the work. And I see a lot of that. And it really breaks my heart because I used to be that. And I just look at people sometimes like, I know you can do this. Like, I see it. You know, you deserve it.
Why do you think that most people avoid it? You know, avoid doing the work?
I think some people don't even know that they're doing that. I don't think, you know, they're like, I'm busy. I'm so busy. I'm working. I saw this one girl the other day, she was on vacation and she had her cell phone in her hand and she's promoting her business. And she's like, even when I'm at work, I don't miss my clients' calls. And I was like, damn, I remember, you know, being like that, like thinking like that was something to really, be proud of, that I wasn't taking care of myself and putting the needs of other people ahead of me. That doesn't make sense to me today, because my only job is to be well. Because if I'm not well, I can't be good for nobody.
Oh, I love that. My only job is to be well. And we have to normalize that, right? Because what we tend to do is that we work ourselves to sickness. Sometimes we work ourselves to literal death, right? And it isn't until we are physically sick or we're stressed or depressed, you know, or all of those things that we then have no choice but to like take a pause and a break, right? Because people will literally work themselves till they're sick. They won't take days off. They won't do anything to pour into themselves. No. And I'm really a huge advocate. Like I had a conversation with someone yesterday and I was saying like, I'm all about normalizing wellness days. You know, like companies have to transition from this term of sick days to wellness days, because why would you want to wait for your employee to be sick to take the time off, right?
Girl, you're speaking my language right now, because that's exactly, if I may, just because I want to add to what you're saying, is exactly why I've decided to go back to the hospitality and entertainment industry, because I know that I have the tools, I have been in their shoes, and it's time for me to go serve in the service industry and say, hey, you don't have to get burnt out and then hate your job or no longer be passionate about your work because you ran yourself to the ground and because you burnt the candle on both ends. And how do I, you know, instill that culture and that ethos into these companies? That whole business model is based on service, customer service, and providing an experience. Like, how can you expect to provide an experience to a customer when your freaking employees are tired?
Yes. Yeah. Like, they're exhausted. How are they going to show up as their best selves, right, to sell whatever it is the company is selling when they themselves are not feeling it?
Right.
You know, and I think that you know, it's interesting because I always find the best people to do that kind of work are the ones who have been in it.
Yeah.
And who know, like, firsthand experience what they struggled with. You know, and I remember when you and I first talked about, like, all of the work that you were doing, you know, you talked about, like, the breakdown that you had had, you know, because of all of these different directions you were being pulled into and trying to live up to, you know, this idea, you know, and being in entertainment and what that quote unquote meant, right? And how you just had to, you're always, like, you're in the service industry, right? So you're always catering
to
who the client is at the expense of yourself.
Correct. Right. Yeah, so, and doing, go ahead, sorry.
So how do you, you know, going back into that industry, knowing what you know now, how do you start to shift that?
Yeah, well, shift the, for first, it's the culture, right? So I in this break, in this time, in the last couple of years since we've done the last podcast, I've been in you know, in these introspective personal studies and really just learning about myself and then going the personal development, emotional intelligence route to really understand how everything is interconnected, especially, and for me, number one, my spiritual practices, how I would never know that I wasn't acting like A or B had I not had a connection with spirit to guide me there in the first place, you know? And I think that goes back to this whole thing about distraction. Like, when you're not in a good place and you're forced to be alone, if you can be still knowing that you're in actually a really great place because you're about to grow, that you can now receive and see the messages and the miracles that God, you know, has for you. And then from there, allow yourself to be led, because when you do that, then everything shows up for you exactly in the way that you need it to, in order to help you in this process of growth. I remember coming here in 2017 to Tulum and meeting this shaman, you know, right when I was in, like, at the beginning of wanting to get more into, like, shamanism and being this medicine woman and learning more about the indigenous culture. I did something called a temezcal, and the temezcal is a sweat lodge. You go into this very hot hut, stone hut, where you do that work through the elements and you chant and sing with the shaman. And the idea is that your breathing is extremely important. And when you're in there and you're breathing, you don't come out, right? Like being in a steam room. So you have to take the heat as it comes in with the coal. And I remember, you know, he asked me what my intention was. And I, like usual, being very tenacious, I went in there with four intentions and I nearly really hurt myself, because there's a thing that happens when we breathe, especially if we don't breathe properly or drink a lot of water, where our hands go into claws and you can cramp up. And because my breath was off, because I wasn't breathing, we don't breathe a lot. We think that we breathe. We don't breathe properly. I wasn't breathing. And I cramped up and I got very sick. And I remember the shaman just looking at me like, I said one intention. He's like, what intention did you go in with? And I gave him all the intentions I had. And he was like, whoa. He's like, listen, you know, you needed one intention. And I was like, oh. And he's like, you know, you got to know that everything that you're doing right now, let yourself be led. You met me and now you're like the alchemist. You're going to go on this journey. And everybody that's a teacher is going to start presenting themselves. And if you can see that, then you can learn and become who you're going to become on this path.
I love that, you know, and, you know, you mentioned that you had the four intentions, right? And we're all guilty of doing this, right? We always want to do all the things at the same time, because it's how we've been conditioned, right? We've been conditioned to like want more and do more. And like the more work you can do, quote unquote, the more successful you're going to be or the faster you're going to get to wherever you need to be. But when we're doing the spiritual work, the self-awareness work, right?
Like
it's a journey. It's not a race. You don't have to, you know, get there like by tomorrow or next week. It really is the journey, because it's the journey that helps you become who you're supposed to be, right? It's not how quick you can get there, but it's the lessons that you learn on the journey. So being able to recognize, being intentional about what you really want, like out of your life, out of the work that you do, the legacy that you want to ultimately leave behind and create. Once you start getting clear on that, you start to recognize you don't have to do all the things at once. You allow yourself, kind of like the shaman said to you, you know, to be led, and you start to recognize that every one thing leads to the next thing. And that's how you, and that's what the journey is about.
Sure. Yeah. And then to, you know, be able to look back and connect the dots, you know, I love that. Like, I love playing this game. I've always, you know, said I truly am the alchemist. Like, I've been able to have all these really amazing angels and teachers come into my life. And I needed each and every one of them to come in exactly when they did, just to, you know, just help correct me on that path. If I was just going off a little bit, just to give me that one little message that I needed. And I really got from all of this work too, like what we were saying earlier about the responsibility and being a victim. Like, I'm a bit like, this happened to me. This is my story. This is my, like, you know, my mom says to me sometimes, like, I feel like you lack an emotional compass. Like, you know, you're not sensitive or compassionate. And I'm like, no, I don't think that it's not that I'm not sensitive or compassionate. I just think that I understand what I've had to go through. And I understand that I have to be responsible and I can choose, right? I can choose from a place of awareness, from a conscious level, whether or not I want to continue there and I want to play that story over and over again, which is victimhood. And then I also want to, you know, acknowledge that my role and my responsibility is that as I get better, that I become a better example, not that I run out to tell everybody what they need to do to be better, or force that upon anyone, because that's why it's called self-realization. Everybody has to figure it out on their own. But the way that you change another human being's life is by the way that you show up.
Yeah. Yes. And that's why it's so important for us to operate in our most authentic selves. And that's, at times, it's really hard to do that, right? Because we have a world that tries to tell us who we should be, how we should look, the things that we should have. And we internalize these messages from when we're children. Yeah. And then a lot of times we grow up feeling insecure, feeling like we don't measure up, feeling like we need to have what the next person has, right? It starts to cultivate those feelings of jealousy, of envy.
Not enoughness.
And that's why when, you know, we talk a lot about doing the work, right? And so for someone who might be struggling with understanding what the quote unquote work is, it's the unlearning of all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's the realization that who you are at your simplest, at your core, when you strip yourself away, when you strip away all of the things, right? All the material things, that mm-hmm. who you are at your most natural self is enough. And it's unfortunate that we have to work to get there because we've been conditioned our whole lives to feel like we're not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because when you start becoming better and when you start breaking these patterns, you're almost guilted or shamed for being happy about how you're living because it is foreign to someone else and they don't know, and they don't even know any better. Sometimes they don't even know that they're doing it, that they are unintentionally or unconsciously, you know, creating a negative aura or vibration around your happiness and your success. And I think that that's why, you know, personal work and spiritual work are so important because you need to learn how to create your own alignment, your own internal and vibrational alignment and integrity so that when something does occur in your experience, you know how to quote unquote vibrate higher or how to change the frequency and or the dial. And then also know that, you know, these whole terms, like, I got to protect my energy. You know, that person tries to steal my energy. No one can really do that unless you choose to absorb it.
It all comes back to self. It comes back to what we allow. You know, it also comes in, you know, I'm big on setting boundaries, right? We walk around believing that we have to subject ourselves to like everything. And you don't, you know, you get to choose who you're around. You get to choose what you internalize in your mind. And so like what you said, it's only if you allow yourself to absorb that, that then, yeah, your energy is going to be affected and then your mood is going to change and then you're going to react to what someone else is doing. We have to learn how to control ourselves like at all times so that no matter what someone else is projecting onto us, that we remain unfazed, right? Because another level of awareness is understanding that what other people do is not about us at all. Right. It's all a projection of what's going on inside of them. Yeah. And once you can recognize that, you'll realize that your energy can't be phased.
Right.
Because it's like when we talk about just letting it like roll off your back, letting it slide off, like you really become that thing that is not internalizing anything that's happening outside of you.
That's why emotional intelligence is so important. And I've talked about that, you know, growing up the way that we did or the environments or neighborhoods that we did, like there's no funding for that. There's no funding on education to make sure that people are emotionally intelligent so that they are healthy, so that they're consciously consuming, you know, they give us the bottom of the barrel. But I also feel like that's a really great life exercise because you can choose to stay in that or you can choose to come out of that too, right? And, you know, you have that layer and perspective to look at as well. You know, there was something that transpired within my family dynamic and my mom and everybody had a comment about something. And my input on it was, he will have a choice. Just like I had a choice and my brother had a choice and I chose this route and my brother chose that route. And that, you know, and this family member will have a choice. And all I can do is, you know, pray and use what I know as the powerful being that I am to energetically send the love that I hope will emulate and or influence in a positive manner for when it's his time, he will make the right choice for him and the choice he's supposed to make while he's here on his journey in this lifetime.
You know, and I mean, our lives are nothing but a series of choices, right? It's like we are where we are right now because we made certain choices, and had we made different choices, we'd be somewhere else, you know? And you kind of touched about this a little while ago, but once you start or you embark on this journey of self-actualization, of self-work, you know, everyone that has been in your life may not understand right? Like, because if they're not awakened and if they have not begun their own work, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. They don't understand it because yeah. they've never been exposed to it. And sometimes, you know, when we start on these kinds of the spiritual work, we tend to lose people in our lives, mm-hmm. you know, and we have to be okay with that, because it's better to lose a person in your life than to lose yourself in the
process. Right.
You know,
correct.
Trying to keep them a part of your life, you end up losing yourself, and like that should never be the sacrifice.
No, and I think that what I've noticed is that, and it's been a very interesting thing for me to witness right now, is that while I am at my best, my most abundant in my health and well-being and spiritual and emotional states, that as I am being prepared and stepping out now for this role of work that I believe that God has put me here to do, that I am getting blips and reminders of the previous types of relationships that I kept and had in my life and how toxic they were. And they're showing up in different ways to remind me, and they're not nice. Okay? They're not nice reminders, and they're certainly very they're not complimentary. They're actually quite rude. And when I'm being faced with these, it's about how I'm responding versus reacting, but also reminding me about how, I mean, there's just so many layers to what I'm going to say right now, but one of them is to see how much I've grown. The second part is to see, you know, what I allowed. Like, I'm like, wow, you know, I can't believe that I was around someone like that I used to let talk to me that way. And now this person who I don't speak to actually came to disrupt me where I am, right? Or test my faith and my own, right? My own strength and alignment of who I am, where I am, what I stand. And I'm going to respond to this because it's part of my medicine about how I'm going to use my voice now in an effective way. And then put a stop to it because I'm cord cutting. I'm releasing as many things as possible as I can right now before I quantum leap into this next version of myself.
Whoa.
And that can be scary too, though, right? Like, it can be scary to let go of like everything that we've known and embark, you know, on a journey that is going to be open to new discoveries, right? Just about like ourselves, about yeah. the world around us, even our relationships. Because, yeah. you know, once we start to do that work, it can be scary for other people, right? Like yeah. we tend to be afraid of what we don't necessarily understand, and they will try to do all they can to keep us
yes.
in stuck in a state that feels comfortable to them. Right. So they don't want to see us grow, because when we're growing, it's a reminder to them of where they still are,
yes,
or the work that they haven't done. And you know, and that can be, you know, that can be scary to say, you know what, I need to love myself enough to let go of that so that I can catapult, you know, mm-hmm. into the next level of my life.
Yeah. 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 And I also, you know, find too that because we're all, and a lot more people have woken up and become more conscious, that everybody is seeking and or going to a different form or route of elevation, whether that may be going back to their religion or being more involved in the church or becoming more, for me, I was raised Catholic, but I am very spiritual. I'm very much into ancient wisdom and teaching. So I like all types of things. Mm-hmm. And knowing that what I'm doing versus the other person and whatever they've decided to use as what their form of religious, spiritual education is going to be, that you not judge that we not judge the other person in that process as if our way is the right way. I think that is really unfair too.
Yeah. Like, there's so many, and I love that you say that, because there's so many different paths to spiritual awakening, right? And I yeah. think that many times we want to only see the one way, kind of like you said, like our way is the only way, but there are so many ways, you know, yes, to get there. And so giving other people the freedom to explore what, yes, that looks like for them.
Yes. Yes.
And helping to support them on that journey, like whatever it looks like, because ultimately the goal is the same, right? It's to connect with the spirit within us, with our soul.
Yeah.
And there's no cookie cutter way to get there. There's not one path. It's not linear, right? Sometimes it's going to look crazy.
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be a maze of different twists and turns and peaks and valleys of how you get there. And everyone's going to have their own journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you have to take from whatever it is that you're doing and take the nuggets, take the gems, and not make that, I believe, to be the end all be all, because we are constantly evolving and because there are things that we still don't know or things that we still haven't learned that we haven't been exposed to. So I feel like having an open mind is extremely important because you just don't know. But what you do know is that you can know yourself. You can get better with yourself and learn how to work from a heart-centered place, know what feels uncomfortable, what feels good when you're around someone or something. Where does it, you know, move in your body? Is it in your stomach? Do you get butterflies? Is that because it's releasing a chemical reaction that's actually very toxic for you and not healthy? Is it in your heart? What is leading you? What is guiding you? Yes, God and light. I'm all about that. But how do they communicate with you? How does light, God, energy communicate with you, right? Through the energy. But how through the energy if you can't see it? So it happens in our bodies. And that all depends on how intuitive you are and in the work, right? Now, some people can communicate through electricity or the wind or whatever, right? But I'm just saying, if we talk really just in our body, our body's telling us, our body's talking to us. So if I am around something or someone that doesn't feel good, my body's going to tell me, is it a low vibration at the bottom of my stomach near my root? Is it something maternal? What is being triggered in me? Is it actually in my heart? Okay, that feels good. So I practice a lot of that now, asking myself, reminding myself, okay, I have this. I don't have to go out and call 10 people to get 10 people's opinions about the one decision that I need to make for me.
Yeah, and it's being able to recognize that, like recognize within our body where we're feeling those things. And again, that requires a conscious awareness that takes practice, right? Like, yeah, you have to practice that because it's not something that we are just, let me rephrase. I think that for the moment we're born that way, but as we grow and as we start to take in messages from, you know, people around us, from the world around us, we start to close off some of those energy centers, right? Some of those things in our brains that are intuitive. We somehow block those neurons and we don't pay attention to like what we're feeling, or even when we feel something, right? We ignore it. We ignore the feeling instead of paying more attention to it and questioning, well, why am I feeling this? And why is it in this specific part of my body? We don't question ourselves enough. But it isn't until we start the journey, the work, that we do, because it awakens a different part of us.
I love that you say that. Like we don't ask ourselves enough questions. And that's why too, you know, doing the quote unquote, as we say, the work and finding different outlets to do that, whether that be a specific modality or a teaching or a healing practice or, you know, or writing, right? Journaling, you would know that better than anybody. You've written 5 books, you know, like writing, how therapeutic is writing? Continuing to ask yourself a question when you are triggered by something and asking yourself, and I'll just use myself as an example here. There is an app that someone introduced to me called The Work. And I was really working through why I would previously become extremely attached, anxiously attached in my relationships. even though I know that they weren't for me. And I'd see this behavior. So I'd go into the app and I started using the app, and the app asked me a question. It kept asking you the question over and over again in different ways until you got down to the one thing. And the one thing was the, you know, the not enoughness. It would go back to the same thing. And I was like, well, I keep going back to the same answer, you know, again, showing us that everything that we don't work on when we don't know what we're doing or why we do it, there is a root cause. And that root cause of that limitation shows up in every freaking area of our life. And it will and continue to do that until we go in and we rip it out and we work on it and we heal it. We embrace it. We do the whole damn thing.
Yes. Oh, so good. So good. So good. So I want to shift a little bit because I want to talk about some of the work that you do. Talk to me about this dream weaving. Like, what is that for those who have never experienced it? Like, what is it?
Okay. Well, so there's dream weaving and there's dream state. So I'm a dream weaver and I am very passionate about weaving my dreams into existence. And in dreaming my weaves into existence, it takes a specific practice. It takes the practice of astral travel meditation. It's the practice of imagination and creativity. It's envisioning practices. So it's about getting into a theta state, a very relaxed, deep state, which puts you into a dream state, which then allows you to surrender and then the mind to be free. And then for spirit to show you and reveal. So dream state is a meditation that I created to take people on a really fun journey, merging the metaphysical and material world and how to use theta healing and connection with other guides, whether that be your ancestors or angelic realms or God, pure God and light, and just how to really go into the places that best resonate with you, and then how to work to get to a place where you feel you're most empowered, where you get to see really who you can be in this physical reality, and then how to take that, those dreams and desires that you have put in the back of your head or that you don't think are possible, and then how to bring those into actionable, tangible results in the physical world. So that's dream state. It's just a practice of becoming better and feeling better about yourself, that you have the ability to dream and manifest what you desire. Dream weaving, that is a way of weaving in your dreams and doing that through lucid dreaming, which is learning how to work with your dreams before you go to sleep by asking questions to reveal themselves to you while you're sleeping. And dream weaving, which you hear me talk a lot about, is cultivating community of like-minded men and women who practice conscious living, who are about more sacred economy, people that are about creating and co-creating abundance, prosperity, and their dreams amongst other weavers around the world who live working with the elements and with the principles of quantum and metaphysics and spirituality.
I love that. And I'm thankful that you explained both, because I thought they were the same. I had no idea, you know, about the difference. And I think that it's helpful because we hear a lot about dreams and manifesting them into reality. And so often people don't even know how to do that. You know, yeah. They don't know how to take the thing that they dream about and bring it forth into this world. And one of the things that I always, you know, love to talk about is that everything that was created in this world was once a dream for someone. You know, like even like these computers that we're on now, or these devices, you know, if we time travel back to the 1500s, right? And you would have told them back then, oh, you know, years from now, we're going to have these devices that allow people to connect with each other all across the world in light speed time and communicate. They look at you like you're crazy, right? So there's some dream that someone has right now that in their minds is like, it seems impossible, but if they stick to it, hundreds of years from now, someone is going to benefit from that thing, right? Yeah. So it's allowing yourself to believe that the impossible is possible.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? Exactly. And to also believe or know that you can tap into some really, you know, some really amazing gifts that you possess inside that you don't even know you have because you're not taught to play with them or to enhance them or to become better at the gifts that you have because of, I can go into a whole other, that's a whole other episode. So I don't want to get into that. But the point is that you're not encouraged to do those things. And that's why children are so limitless. And when they want to do something, they can see the magic. They see the angels. They ask questions. Like, why can't I do that? It's us that create the, you know, the limitations because we were conditioned and programmed to have the limitations that we can't do something. And I'll tell you, you know, dream weaving for me, just to give you like just an insight on how powerful dream weaving is. Dream weaving is a sacred portal because everyone that's in it is there for their own self personal growth. You share your dreams in these private groups and you are held accountable for yourself. Yeah. It's self-realization. And because you're working with the elements, you get to see how every element resonates in your life. And it shows you in dream weaving in this quantum place that you meet these people to dream weave with. And you really get to see that how you show up in one way of your life is how you show up in every way of your life.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that is so, so true. Okay, so I want us to talk a little bit. You just relaunched your website, right? I want you to talk to me about the website. I want you to talk to me about some of the services that you offer because I was on the website. First of all, it looks absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And you have a lot of things to offer people.
Yeah.
Different packages, different... just different ways for people to really begin their journey or if they've already begun.
Yes.
How to continue.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about some of the things that you offer.
Okay. So thank you for taking the time to look at it. And thank you for seeing all of that because that's exactly what it is. There's something there for everybody. Mm-hmm. I want to just give a personal shout out and love. My website and putting this new business together was a labor of love, but a shout out to Christina Zayas, who has supported me in the reinvention of my brand from the aesthetic and the digital presence because I have been preparing for this time. I tell you, I have been preparing and all of the ways that I was once looked at for the way that I saw things or the way that I did things is actually one of my most powerful gifts. And I have to say that what I've done with ApolloniaKeys.com is that I have created a different program for anyone who needs and or wants to be better. And I've taken my years of work in personal development, emotional intelligence, my spiritual evolution and modalities as the core and the foundation of how to use my years of experience as a branding specialist, a PR professional, a media personality, and encompassing all that into one program. And I'm doing it for group dynamics, for people that are ready, that know, that are a little bit more accelerated. Like, yeah, I just need help. How are we doing this? How do I get my brand out there? How do I get out my courses and my business and my intellectual property? Because the truth of the matter is that we all possess a lot of intelligence in the experiences that we've had and the work that we've done. But how do we monetize that when we're in this new digital age? I.e. me, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and thank God that I was able to call in the right people through dream weaving, right? Nicole, and a network of like-minded individuals. And I was able to call in the right people to support me in getting to this next, phase of my career. I have created something called Reinvention in the New Paradigm. So the brand reinvention package, and that is for those, like I said, who are more accelerated, that have stuff to use and offer, but they don't know where to start and how to do it. And we help you do that. I have the one-on-one 6-month intensive. I mean, that's taking that high level CEO who wants to become a little bit more heart-led or perhaps a little bit more comfortable in social environments, or who wants to enhance his emotional intelligence. So that person already has made the money, they've had the executive role, but they really want to use their poder, their power, their and make an impact, and how to take that person from the inside, help them on the inside first, and then help them to launch on the outside, where we're getting them into the places and spaces and on the stages of where they're going to make the impact in the world, because they already have that in them. They're just requiring some assistance from an emotional and spiritual intelligent perspective to help them really elevate to the next level. And then I realized, you know what? No matter what, I always got to look out for my ladies. And I had to do a program set for women, something for women like me. Like, you know, you're like, all right, well, I've done all this work. I'm doing this again for the third time. This is my next opportunity. What am I doing? How am I doing it? How am I going to have a clear, concise message? And how am I going to really come out into the world as who I am today, raw, my full self, doing the things that I'm passionate about, that make me happy? And how am I going to make money doing that? Because I deserve it. Yes. Because it's my time, because the experiences that I have personally and professionally are of value, and that there are people like me that could use that experience and who could learn from me, who I can share this information with. So I was like, you know, I got to make sure I got something for the ladies, because everybody possesses their own power, and it's our time. It's everybody's time. We just have to choose to step in.
Yes. Well, I love everything that you're doing. I have been a fan of yours since we met. We have forged an excellent relationship, sisterhood. Like, you're someone who I just love. I enjoy you, you know, and I'm grateful that whenever you're in town, you always hit me up and you're like, let's get together, even yes. if you're, you know, a little bit, because you are all over the place, you know. Apollonia is a world traveled woman. She's lived all across the globe, and when we are lucky enough, we get her back in the States for a little bit. And so I want to just wish you continued success, you know, in everything that you're doing. You have such impact on every person that you touch. And for those of you who are listening, if you are not connected with her, please connect with her. She is on Instagram. She's all over social media, Apollonia Keys. Visit her website, apolloniakeys.com. 1P, 2Ls, you know, Apollonia.
Thank you.
And just thank you for spending this afternoon with me. It was so much fun. I love you. I have you back again.
I love you too. And thank you so much for having me. I am also such a big fan of yours. I always, you know, talk about how I met you as well the second time, and how you gave me the book, Live on Purpose, and how I was at the beginning, or in the middle, actually, of that transition in my life, not ever knowing or believing, like, how am I going to be in the world of wellness? Who's going to take me serious as someone that can help transform their lives and their brands? And that book really helped me, because I had to write it down and I had to declare it. And every time I talk to you, it's so refreshing, because I want and continue to want and have and desire to have relationships that are elevated and that, you know, contribute to my expansion. And that when we have a conversation, we are together creating magic and spells that go out into the universe that truly spread what it is to be, have, and do what you desire, you know, if you believe, and that there is magic out there in the world.
Amen. Amen. And there Amen. Is. And I want people to just remember that you are the magic. Like, that's what the magic is.
Yes.
Magic in the world, because we are the magic. And
yes,
you tap into that, like, the world really begins to open and you become limitless. And that really is what the work is about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel too that making sure that you cultivate community, you know, wherever you are. And sometimes when we're on this path, we're like, let me tell all my friends, and this person needs it too. And this person, and you know, that's your opinion. What you need to do is focus on you and lead with the as this change maker, or as this example, rather, let me correct myself, lead as an example of the work that you're doing, because everyone is learning from each other, and those who are supposed to join you will. Yeah. They will. And get uncomfortable. I always say this, get uncomfortable and go hang out and be around people you would never hang out with, because you'd be really surprised about what you learn and who you connect with and the relationships that you foster.
Yes, I love that. I would say that for me, my biggest lessons have come from people who were most unlike me. You know, people who probably in my younger years, I probably never would have hung out with, like, where I would not have saw any connection, right? Because, you know, we always connect to people who are most like us. That's how our friendships are formed, because you find people that like to do the same things that yeah. you want to do. And so my lessons have always been from those who have not had my same experiences. And that is refreshing. And I always say, like, everyone you meet is a teacher. So, yeah. you know, invest the time to get to know people, because you never know how God and how the universe is sending that person to your life.
Yes.
To either teach you something about yourself or to teach you something about the world.
Yes. Yes, sister. Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear you. I feel that. I receive that. That's why every time I do have an interaction with someone, I'm always asking myself those questions, and also learning to disconnect in a way where, you know how they say the mirror effect, how the other person, like, what you don't like about them, you know, that's yeah. about you. But also learning too that sometimes maybe you're just teaching them something, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that too.
Right.
So also learning to.
It could be that you're a reflection of who they're supposed to be.
Yes.
You know, and so being able to just, it's like being able to receive the lessons in everything, right? There's a lesson in every experience, in every encounter, in every struggle, you know, all of those things that we tend to feel are breaking us down. Yeah. Those are the things that change us, right? It's the breakdown that really yeah. shows us who we are and what we're made of. Because then we have to build ourselves back up. And that's,
exactly.
that takes work. You can't just, you're not just going to leave yourself on the ground, right? You're going to, at some point, get the willpower to lift yourself up and rebuild yourself again. And that exactly. is what it's about.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, and I going back to what I was saying at the beginning, what my friend said to me, you know, the victimhood. You choose whether or not you want to be in it or not. And it's not that there's a lack of compassion, but it's just asking yourself too, like, this is a choice right now. Do I choose to be down? Do I choose to ponder? Do I choose to be a martyr? Do I choose to be in this low feeling vibration and emotion? Or do I choose now that I have already sat in that long enough? What do I choose next? It's a choice of how long you want to stay there.
Yes. Well, on that note, we're going to end this week's podcast because we have choices. And if you took nothing away from this podcast, let it be that. Let it be the understanding that you get to choose what you want your life to be like. So until next time, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Connect with Apollonia Keys and let her know. Like, did you love it? What did you love about the show? And connect with her. Ciao. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show. I hope you enjoyed spending your time. Bye.